Welcome, everyone. Every single one of us has so much potential. We also have the inner strength, skills, and resolve we need to become the best possible versions of ourselves. But how can we harness our potential in the midst of living our day-to-day lives? My guest today, Jeremy Larson, is the co-founder and business development and practice manager for Coherence Associates, Inc., a counseling and psychotherapy group in Encinitas and Escondido. Jeremy works every day to help his clients connect with their potential and transform their lives on their recovery journeys. Jeremy will talk about the relationship between talent and discipline, as well as how we can identify and combat procrastinating behaviors, which, you know, is something that I talk about a lot in my book, Rewired. Jeremy is also going to explain how planning can help us take our potential to the next level. Jeremy, welcome to the show. So grateful to have you with me today.
Glad to be here, Erica. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so I mean, there's so much that you do, but I do want to just kind of start with discussing how you have kind of developed this practice of really becoming the best version of yourself, and what inspired you to do that, and how this is helping others.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but also a really simple story. A little over, well, almost 6.5 years ago now, I woke up one morning and I was just tired of the way my life had gone for years and years. I had spent years jumping from job to job to job, bartending, retail, sales, all of that, and doing basically everything I could to just have fun. And, you know, I graduated high school, did really well on SATs, and joined the military, got out of the military, and decided I didn't want to ever go to college. I didn't want to actually do anything other than just have fun. And that continued for a number of years after that. And basically what happened when I woke up that day is I was just exhausted. I was exhausted by repeating the same patterns over and over, where I'd work somewhere until I got tired of it or I got in trouble for something. And then I'd find another job doing basically the same thing. And the biggest key for me was asking other people for help. And it started with asking someone else who had things going for them that I felt like I wanted something like that. And then listening to what they said.
That's a great, I'm so happy that you're sharing this, because I think that's, you know, a lot of people are questioning whether their purpose or path is right for them, or some people are in the throes of, you know, a negative habit, or like you said, negative patterns, which I applaud you for actually bringing the awareness up and out so that you actually got to see the patterns. How did that happen? I mean, how were you able to identify, oh gosh, this is just the same thing, different job, or same situation, different person?
So there was nothing particularly special about that morning. And it was January 4th, 2010. There was nothing different. It wasn't like some crazy bad thing had happened over New Year's. But what it was is I realized that I was heading back down the same path that had taken me to losing a job before, that had taken me to crashing on people's couches because I couldn't afford to pay rent. Even though at that point I was making really good money bartending, for some reason, when it came time to pay rent, I was always just barely scraping by. And at one point I lost the apartment that I was living in. And so there was nothing at that particular day. There was nothing particularly wrong. I hadn't lost a job. I didn't have some crazy experience over New Year's. It was just a morning where I was like, I am starting to do the same thing again that I did the last time I wound up basically down in the dumps.
So I talk about this a lot too, of more of like an internal bottom. It sounds like that's something that maybe you identify with as well. Just the depression, the kind of spiritlessness, the kind of hopelessness that it sounds like you were experiencing. So what propelled you to, so I know that you have obviously worked in treatment. You're now on the business side. I mean, what propelled you to get into that? How did that come about for anybody that may be relating to this story right now?
For me, it was sheer accident, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of hard work that went into it, but there's also a lot of just things happening at the right time by doing the right thing. Right after I right after January, I ended up getting a job because I didn't want to work in bars anymore. I didn't think that I could change the way my life was going, working and bartending and having all of that available to me every night. I realized that the lifestyle itself needed to change, not just the like desire to change it. And so I got a job doing sales at a gym. It was basically one of those, all right, I can make some money doing this. It's kind of a get well type of job. And I started doing sales and I was really, really good at it. And I was making a lot of money, but I didn't like the way it made me feel. I didn't like the pressure that the management and that the people above me would put on me to do more, to no matter how much I sold yesterday. I broke a company record one time during one of our closeouts. And by doing that, I burned through all of my leads that I had because I was trying to break this record. And then the next day, I didn't have any leads or any like contracts that I had gotten signed. And the manager started yelling at me and like harping on me about how today I hadn't gotten any sales. And I was like, do you realize I just broke a company record, saved your butt, you know, by getting you past your level to get your bonus. Why are you yelling at me today? Give me a couple weeks and I'll have my leads built up again. And it just, it was that kind of high pressure. What you did yesterday didn't matter, that eventually I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I quit on the spot. I knew, well, I put in my 2 weeks, and because it was a sales job, they fired me immediately. So I ended up being eligible for unemployment. And I was on unemployment. I was spending probably 40 hours a week looking for a job, day in, day out, like looking for a job, not sitting on my butt and like sending a couple applications out. Like, I probably filled out close to 100 applications a week. I was on job websites. I was going to interviews. And just for like 3 months straight, nothing panned out. Like, I don't know what it was, but nothing was working. It didn't matter. I even considered going back to restaurants, considered doing other things. No jobs were turning up for me. And so one night I went out to dinner, and I was starting to blow through the last of my savings. And I went out to dinner with my mom. And she looked at me and she's like, maybe you're not supposed to get a job right now. And like my brain was kind of blown by this. I was like, I have stuff that I have to pay for. And like, she was like, maybe you're not supposed to work. Maybe it's time for you to actually go back to school. Wow. You still have your GI Bill available from the military, don't you? And I was like, well, yeah, but it's not a whole lot of money. And she's like, well, go back to school and see what happens. And, you know, so I did. I went back to a local junior college at Palomar here in San Marcos. And, you know, I got a chunk of money per month that they paid me while I was going to school, as long as I was going to school full time. Again, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough to live off of.
Yeah.
And I needed to figure out what to study. I was like, I haven't done school really. Like, I'd had a semester here, a semester there, and my grades were always like 1A and 3Fs. Basically, if you expected me to do anything other than tests, I failed the class. If you only were going to test me, I got an A. And I go over there and I'm looking at the list of majors. And one of the majors that was available was called Alcohol and Other Drug Studies. I didn't know that had anything to do with counseling. I didn't know what it was. All I knew is I was like, you know what? I know a lot about drugs and alcohol. I have partied a lot in my life. This should be easy. And so that was what decided me on that major.
Wow. Cool.
And the first class that I had to take, it turned out I had to get an internship in the field. Fortunately, my mom's a therapist. She knows a lot of people. So I was able to get an internship at kind of a really cool place. And that internship turned into a part-time job, turned into a full-time job. I continued going to school. I wound up realizing in the midst of school that I actually did really like this industry. And I had told myself my whole life, I'm never going to work in mental health. My mom's a therapist. I'm not going to do it. I want nothing to do with that field. And I accidentally wound up in the field and realized, wow, this is like really, really satisfying. Like that's something that I had been looking for in like party, that like self-gratification that I had always been looking for in everything that I did. All of a sudden, when I was actually making a difference in people's lives and helping others, that same feeling that I had been never able to find just started appearing. And so I realized I actually really like this field. And so as I continued, you know, I've always been good at math. I've always been good at sales. I've always understood how marketing, promotion, all of that works. Back mm-hmm. I did sales a lot. I was younger.
You knew the hustle.
I did know the hustle. And like back when I was younger and I was in the electronic music scene up in LA, I was doing promotions for raves. So I knew all of this stuff about like sales and marketing, but it had never like given me any fulfillment. And so as I was going to school, I got my associates in alcohol and other drug studies, and I decided to get another associates in accounting just because that kind of math and numbers and financial stuff has always made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And so as this is going along, I've been in school probably a year or so, and I'm out to dinner with my mom, and I'm having a conversation with her, and I'm talking to her about her business model for her private practice, because she's been a private practice therapist for, at that point, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And her response was basically along the lines of, what business model? I just see clients. And so I started talking with her about like things that she could do to, you know, grow her business, about transitioning away from, you know, in her 50s now, seeing 30 clients a week. How sustainable is that going to be for you, you know, into your later 50s and then your 60s and all of that? And started talking about how she wanted to transition into more speaking and training other people. And as this evolved, we actually ended up coming up together with the idea for our company. And at the time, I was still working full-time in at an inpatient rehab. And then when I left that place, I got a job as a counselor at an IOP, working part-time there. And all of this is happening kind of on the side, and I'm kind of getting that clinical experience doing the residential and then the IOP level of treatment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm kind of helping my mom design this business idea, which initially was not going to necessarily be me as a co-founder and working there full time. It was just me using my experience to help her design the practice she wanted. Mm-hmm. And over the last 4 years since we incorporated in 2012, we've gone from her as the therapist with a couple of like contractors for billing and bookkeeping and stuff like that, to her, four clinicians, myself, two locations in North County, San Diego, and consistently growing. And we're getting ready to launch another LLC, which is actually going to be for training and for products. When I do publish the book sometime this summer, I don't know the exact date yet, it's going to go through this second LLC. That's going to be a completely different company that's designed on a different model. But it's still going to be that idea of training and helping people maximize those talents that they have.
That's fantastic.
That's the short version of the story.
Well, that's a fantastic story. And I know that there's probably many, many more layers to it. But I really appreciate you sharing that. And also how, like you were saying before, it's like all these, you know, it's all these skills we've had our whole lives. And really how it's interesting how things unfold and where you could put that energy or those talents in ways which you would never, you know, you may never have thought of. You know, when I was writing my book, I was always a writer, but I never knew that I'd be writing about recovery, or I wouldn't be writing about healthy living. You know, I had no clue that would ever, you know, those two things would ever marry, but it winded up doing that. So I want everybody to hear that no matter what you have experienced in your life, I feel like it will serve you at some point. Like, we don't know how yet it will really unfold, but to have faith that, you know, nothing's in vain. And if you went to college for something else, who knows how that's going to come up, or you've had different jobs, who knows how those skills are going to transfer. So I really appreciate you highlighting that.
Go ahead. I just, one of the things made me think of a lesson that I learned from my mom, but I never internalized until I heard it said a different way from someone else. And it's about following the energy of where you're going. So the way I put it now is, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, things just happen in that direction. When I'm like trying to control everything and do it the way I think is best and not listening to other people, no matter how good I am at something, I feel like I beat my head against a wall. And it's this idea of just following what's there in front of you. And that's kind of how all of this has happened. It's been going, oh, you know what? I've been trying to get this started and it's just not gaining any traction. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, but without even meaning to, traction is happening in this direction. So for right now, I'm going to put a pause on this and I'm going to go where the energy seems to be taking me. An example of that, which is probably the best one I can think of. We created a series of groups that was taken off of a manualized treatment protocol called Seeking Safety. And
yes,
these
I know
groups
that.
Were these groups were designed for trauma and addiction. Now, Sarah, my mom, and our CEO, she got her start in interventions. She's an EMDR therapist. She's done trauma and addiction her entire career. She's transitioned into a lot more, but that's been two of the like heaviest things she's done. And so we created this group for stabilization and getting ready to actually do a lot of the serious trauma work. And this group we call Journey to Wholeness, and we still think it's brilliantly designed. But it just, as we were trying to get it started, we ran it a couple times with people, and I did a couple times individually with people, but it never really started to gain the traction we were hoping. And so as this is all happening, and we're putting all of this energy into it, it did feel like we were beating our head up against a wall. Then all of a sudden, as we're doing all of this, she starts to work a lot with first responders, more than she used to. We started getting contracts with various police departments and doing a lot of the peer support with these police departments through our practice. And it eventually got to one of these points where we were like, are we going to keep beating our head against the wall with this? Or are we going to focus our energy on where it just happens to be going? And so we kind of shifted our focus to a little more of that. And all of a sudden, that just started blossoming as a major part of our practice. Fast forward a couple years, all of a sudden, this protocol and this treatment group model that can also be run individually, all of a sudden we have multiple therapists, and there's parts of it we've started taking and implementing into other groups. There's parts of it we've been started taking and using with the therapists who are dealing with addiction and trauma as individual sessions. Mm-hmm. So all of the work we put in wasn't wasted. It just wasn't the right time.
Right.
And so
it was utilized in a different way.
Exactly. So I truly don't believe that any work you do is ever wasted. It just may not be the right time for what you want right now. It may be the right time for something else.
Right, exactly. And I love that you're also touching upon the fact that obviously following the signs and like you said, the traction. But I think it is important for people to hear this, because I get this a lot in my one-on-one sessions, that people are frustrated because they're not taking action. They don't even see it, but they want something, but they don't know how to get there. And so I really work closely with my clients to create small goals, plans, actionable things every day, tools to help them take action. Getting through those fears. And the procrastination thing comes up a lot, because people have come from a period of their lives where they're really not making things happen. You know, they're hijacked by drugs and alcohol. They're hijacked by depression, anxiety, whatever that is that's going on. And now they're clear of that. And it's like, oh my God, I got to start the engine again. I got to get back on the bike. How do I get through these procrastinating thoughts and behaviors? And so I know that you've worked on this closely and wanted to hear your thoughts on how important is it in your work that you do with your clients and within your practice to address that?
Well, can you repeat the question slightly? Because I want to make sure I got what you're asking right. Are you?
I'm discussing about it, how important taking action is when you want to change your life. In any way, you know, the mountain's not going to come to you. You have to go to the mountain. You can't just sit back and wait for things to happen. You have to put some effort and energy into things. So I see this procrastination that rears its head all the time with my clients who are trying to get better. And I think it's one of those new like muscles you have to build in order to like start taking action here and there. It becomes easier, and hopefully the procrastinating behaviors dissipate. So I was asking, do you see a lot of this procrastination, and how do you help people through that?
One of the things that I've found, at least in myself, and I see it in a lot of clients as well, is that oftentimes this procrastination isn't because they don't want to do something. It isn't because it's uncomfortable necessarily. It's because of fear, whether it's a fear of success mm-hmm. or a fear of failure or whatever the fear is. It's usually this paralyzation that comes from not wanting to make the wrong decision. And so instead of mm-hmm. going and doing something and risking failure or risking success, it's easier to just continue the way things have gone. And, you know, I wrote an article a while back, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept, and it's about the difference between discipline and talent. And this really is what procrastination really has to do with. Motivation is easy. Mm-hmm. Anybody can get motivated for a few weeks. You see people make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to, like, mm-hmm. get in shape. And what happens is they're so motivated, they go 6 days a week for, like, 3 weeks. And then they're tired one day and they skip a day. And they're like, well, today's okay. I've gone every day. So then the next day they're like, well, I skipped one day and I still feel okay, so I'm going to skip the next day. And all of a sudden they start putting off this going to the gym. They start going, well, you know what? I'll do it again. And what ends up happening is no matter how much motivation they have, when things got hard or things got uncomfortable or whatever it was, they didn't have the discipline to continue doing. Mm-hmm. And so discipline is basically the counter to procrastination. Discipline is getting up and doing something regardless. It doesn't even have to necessarily be the thing. It's doing something, mm-hmm. even when right. you don't want to, even when you're uncomfortable. Sometimes mm-hmm. the best cure for procrastination is going and doing something. It could be something completely different than what you're supposed to be doing, but it's just going and doing something. The same reason why today, in getting ready to do this radio interview, mm-hmm. I got up, I showered. Even though I'm doing it from home, I got dressed in, like, work kind of clothes. That really yeah. didn't have anything to do with the interview. You're not going to see me. You're not going to see whether or not I'm still in my pajamas. But I right. know how I feel about it when I get up and shower and get ready. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens for me when if I don't want to do something and I just get ready to go do it. I don't even go do it yet. I just get ready to go do it. It's much harder for me not to go do it. The same right. thing happens with me for homework, for school, because I'm still in school. If mm-hmm. I'm at home, I like to use the joke, my room is never as clean as when I have a paper due. And it's true for me because I hate doing papers. I hate doing homework. I hate all of this school stuff. So for me, the solution became, if I'm going to go do homework, I'm going to go to Starbucks. I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm going to go somewhere specifically with the intent to do homework. And it is much harder for me to procrastinate when I've actually taken one step towards it than if I'm just sitting at right. home and going, well, but my laundry needs to get done. Well, but I right. want to make some food. I can tell you this. I will eat everything in my fridge before doing a paper, even if I'm not hungry.
Right.
And it's that procrastination. And so mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. besides just having the discipline to do things, it's also learning to address that fear. What is it? Why is it that you want to accomplish something? So why is it you want to go to the gym? I'll wrap this up pretty quickly. But why is it you want to go to the gym? mm-hmm. Why is it that you want to, you know, change your life? Why is it you want to do this? Is it because of some minor reason? Is it some abstract reason? Or is it something very specific? Do you want to lose 10 pounds because you want to fit in that dress at your sister's wedding because you want to look good in the pictures because you want to feel better about yourself? Now, that's a mm-hmm. really concrete reason. Knowing that, right. putting a picture of yourself in the dress on your mirror, all of a sudden, right. now when you wake up in the morning, instead of going, I'm not going to the gym because I'm tired, you have a chance to see that picture. And right, you have exactly. a chance, just a little bit better, to address all of those fears. Well, maybe I'll fail. guess what? If you don't go to the gym at all, you're going to fail on losing the 10 pounds and getting into that dress.
Right, right. Well, Jeremy, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And this is what intention is all about. I really appreciate it. Can you tell our audience where they could find you, website?
So, yes, I can. So we have a few different places. Our website for Coherence Associates is www.coherenceassociates.com. We have a blog on our website, which is pretty much every single therapist and member of our team has contributed to it at some point or another.
Cool.
We all write. You can also find us on LinkedIn. Just type in Coherence Associates Incorporated. Or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ Coherence Associates.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy, gotta get going. But you're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining us, and stay well.